Podcast de Anilig.
Hi everyone, today in this podcast we have the pleasure of being with Lauren Cade. She is an American author and her books have been translated into over 30 languages. She has a master's degree in fiction from the University of California. Among her most notable books are Teardrop and Fallen, that reached the third place on the New York Times bestseller list for children in 2010. Lauren, how do you develop your plot and characters?
Hi, thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here. I think of myself as a character-driven writer, which means that character for me has more of a priority in my stories than plot. It's more important. But I also don't really believe that character exists outside of plot. I think that characters in fiction are the function of a plot. They arise out of what happens in a story. They can't really be determined on their own. And so I actually always begin with plot before I begin with character. I don't really like coming up with plots, but that's the starting place for me. And out of the circumstances and events that I present my characters with, I learn who they are and I discover their features and their strengths and their fears and the things that make them memorable. But none of that is known to me. I don't think it could be known until I put them into situations, events, problems, and conflict. So plot comes first, and then character arises out of it. And ultimately, character is the most important thing, but it's not the starting place.
It's interesting that. And in your opinion, what is the most difficult part about writing for you?
I always struggle with the first draft of a novel, and I tend to struggle in the same place of the first draft. I tend to be excited and enthusiastic for the first, third of the draft, and then in the middle of the book, almost through the end of the book, I lose faith in the story. It begins to confuse me. I wonder if I know where it's going. I wonder if it's good enough. And I know by now that this is always my pattern and that I'm always going to feel that way regardless of the state of the book at that point. So I know by now that the best thing I can do is to push forward all the way to the end of a very messy first draft, because once that's complete, I really love the revision process. I love going back in and making stories stronger. So I'm happy once I get past the first draft, but I always struggle with the first draft.
Yeah, because the first draft is so difficult to do, I think so.
Yeah, just to know what anything means or what anything is about, it's very hard. But I think the subconscious is working for us, even when we don't think anything's working for us. So I think we're planting a lot of seeds with our subconscious, leaving them there for us to find in the second draft that we don't even know we're doing.
Yeah. Do you write listening to music? If so, what music inspired or accompanied your books?
I can never write listening to music. Sometimes I can revise listening to music, but mostly music sort of surrounds the stories but doesn't come into them when I'm actually writing them. It's like something I'll listen to before when I'm on a walk, or something I'll listen to afterwards when I'm cooking or, outside at my house or something like that. Recently, I've been listening to the band Wet Leg a lot, but I also love classical music. One of my recent books is called The Orphan Song, which is set in Venice during the Baroque period. So I listen to a lot of Vivaldi and Handel and Bach. I love that kind of, Baroque and classical symphony music.
Yeah, it's interesting that because there are a lot of important music that some fans put into in your page like something like a list of music for your book.
Yeah, and I love to see that. I love to see what kind of music people connect with my stories. And a lot of times some of my favorite bands have come out of suggestions that people have, songs they like to listen to while reading.
Yeah. How many plot ideas are just waiting to be written? Can you tell us about one?
I do have a file of plans for the future, but most of them are things I haven't figured out yet. Usually I'll get like half of an idea, but then I need the other half to arrive from somewhere else before I'm ready to turn it into a story. It tends to be like, you know, a what if question, but then there's a big piece of it that's missing for me. So, I mean, there's a book that I've always sort of wanted to write, but I don't know how to do it in a way that would be like dramatically fulfilling. But it's a story about two people who don't like each other in real life. They're kind of adversaries or, you know, lightly enemies in some way. And I don't know the circumstances, but they really don't get along. And then they both start dreaming about each other, and they kind of meet in their dreams and fall in love in their dreams, and then have to kind of bridge the distance between waking life and dreaming life and figure out if they can make it work in reality.
Well, it's like enemies to lovers, no?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I love those kind of stories.
Me too. And what books or authors have most influenced your own writing?
Major influences for me are Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I've just been studying his work again recently and remembering how important it was to me when I first read him. I love Ann Patchett and Zadie Smith and Virginia Woolf. I'm trying to think. Recently, I've been reading Jennifer Egan and been really inspired by her writing, her structurally, what she can do. And also a big favorite of mine in the past, you know, 5 years is Madeline Miller's writing. Her book Circe is, I think, maybe my top favorite book.
I think I read some of that books of that authors, I think, but I don't remember.
Yeah, check her out again. She's wonderful.
Yeah. In my case, I have a notebook where I write my favorite quotes. Some of them of your book, Fallen. Mm-hmm. Do you have something similar, or if you can, you tell us one?
Yeah, recently I have been studying this book called Women Who Run With the Wolves. The author is Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And there's a quote from her book. I mean, there's so many quotes in this book that I underline and circle and star. But here's one I think that applies to being a reader, being a writer. She's talking about accessing our inner intuition and our inner sense of truth and wildness. And she says, sometimes a word, a sentence, a poem, or a story is so resonant, so right, it causes us to remember, at least for an instance, what substance we are really made from and where is our true home. I love that.
This is beautiful. Well, thank you so much to Laura and Kate for being here with us today. And thank you for listening to our podcast. Stay tuned for our next exciting episode. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.